Welcome to the Mostly Money, Mostly Canadian podcast with your host, Preet Banerjee.
Welcome back to Mostly Money, Mostly Canadian. I'm your host, Preet Banerjee, and joining me this week is Sean Cooper, who's a freelance writer and blogger. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Preet.
Okay, Sean. So one of the things that I like to do with all of my guests is I like to have them explain their background to me. So we'll get into the topic at hand, which is pensions for the most part. But why don't you tell us how you came about to writing about pensions and how you got to where you are today?
Well, Preet, in school at Ryerson, I took business management, and I've always been interested in finance and personal finance. So I was able to land a job as a pension analyst at a major pension consulting firm, and that's where I work to this day. And from there, I've started blogging and trying to break down pensions for the average person because it's a rather complex subject. So there's not a lot of people that write about pensions out there, so I'm trying to basically write about an area that definitely needs to be covered but isn't covered by a lot of bloggers.
Okay, great. So in that vein, let's kick off the podcast by explaining to people what the difference between a defined benefit pension plan is versus a defined contribution plan.
Well, Preet, when most people think of pensions, probably the first form of pension that comes to mind is the defined benefit plan. Now, as the name suggests, with defined benefit, what's defined what you basically know in advance is what your benefit will be in retirement. So with defined benefit, it's typically based on a pension formula, and that's based on your earnings over your career as well as the service you have with a company. So if you stayed with the same company throughout your career, you're more likely to have a better pension. And for retirement planning purposes, a defined benefit pension plan is a lot easier because you receive an annual statement and it shows what your pension accrued pension is to date, as well as some companies include your projected pension, which will show you what pension you can expect in at your normal retirement date, as well as, for example, government benefits that you'll receive, like CPP and old age security, so that it makes it a lot easier for planning purposes. Now, the other type of pension, as you mentioned, was the defined contribution pension. And unlike the defined benefit pension, the only thing that's known in advance is how much you'll contribute to the pension plan. So with defined contribution, the amount that you're contributing to the pension plan is typically based on a percentage of your salary. So, for example, you might contribute 6% of your salary, and there's typically a matching component, so your employer might match that for 6% as well. So the difference between defined benefit and defined contribution is that defined benefit's similar to an RSP because you're putting money into the account, and the amount that you'll receive in retirement is based on how your investments perform over your career. So if there was another financial crisis like in 2008 and you had too much money invested in equities, then your defined contribution account balance could definitely drop a lot. So it's up to the investment risk with defined contribution risk is with the employee, but with defined benefit, it's with the employer, because if there's any, the employer is solely responsible for investing the funds, and if there's any shortfall, they have to make it up. So it's basically a shifting risk from the employee to the employer. That's the main difference between defined contribution and defined benefit.
Right. So as I think you pointed out, when people have their self-directed RRSP plan, that's kind of like a defined contribution pension plan in a sense, because it's for the retirement.
Pretty much.
They know how much they're putting in. The contribution is defined by them. They just don't know that what that's going to amount to in retirement, because it's not a defined monthly payout unless they converted that into a life annuity, I suppose. But so for people who have a defined benefit pension plan, usually a lot of people are quite envious of those in that situation, because as you said, from a planning point of view, you're going to get that monthly benefit till the day that you die, assuming that the company can sustain that pension plan. So let's talk about a trend that we've noticed that's been going on for a long time, quite frankly, and that's the shift of employers from a defined benefit pension plan to a defined contribution, and this is a de-risking strategy for them. So explain this shift and why it's come about.
Okay, well, as I mentioned, the main difference between defined benefit and defined contribution is where the investment risk sits with. Now, with defined benefit, for any shortfalls, the employer has to make it up, but with defined contribution, it's the employee who has to make up the shortfall. So basically, employers are looking to get risk off their balance sheet, like with the 2008 financial crisis, as well as like the dot-com crisis in 2001. Employers were hit very hard in the equity side of their investments. So, I mean, that's created a very big pension shortfall for employers, and it takes them years to recover, and they have to put lots of money into the pension plan. So they're basically looking to get these open-ended liabilities off their balance sheet. It's similar to how the trend in health benefits of how the old benefit plan of basically each employee has the same benefits is going by the wayside, and employers are looking to go to flex benefits where it helps them basically employees choose what benefits they'll want, and it basically helps it in that open-ended liability. So it's all about getting risk off the balance sheet, and like employers are with defined benefit plans. I mean, even though you have it today, you might not have it tomorrow because employers are looking. I mean, it's common for employers for new hires to decide to close the defined benefit plan and enroll them in defined contribution. I mean, with Canada Post, for example, all the new hires are enrolled in defined contribution, even though the older employers continue to accrue under the defined benefit plan. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a risk strategy to get that extra risk off their balance sheet.
Okay, now one of the buzzwords or buzz phrases that we hear about are funding levels with defined benefit pension plans. And you mentioned back in 2008 when equity indexes or markets took a hit, then that affected the funding levels of the plans. And a lot of people were saying that a lot of these pension plans are not funded adequately enough. Now let's talk about funding plans today, because the last 5 years, you know, markets have done fairly well, and last year was just a barnstormer of a year for many equity markets around the world. So what are funding levels right now, and is that, do you think, going to have any impact on the de-risking by employers? Or are they still going to do that in spite of the fact that there's been a bit of a rebound?
Okay, well, Preet, there was a report put out recently which said that funding levels for pension plans were their best in over a decade. So that's definitely good news for employers. And as employees working for a company with defined benefit plan, you would think that would be good news, and that employers would perhaps consider not de-risking and getting rid of defined benefit. But the opposite is actually true, because now that that a lot of employers' pension plans have returned to full funding status, it presents them with a window to de-risk, because first of all, their equities on the equity side of their investment, that's improved a lot. Like last year, 2013, the TSX was up 9% and the Dow was up 26%. So their equity side is up a lot. And in terms of the fixed income side, the long-term bond rates improved. So the discount rate is used to value their fixed income part of their liability. So that's improved as well. So this basically is I think it will be a trend. The trend of de-risking, switching to defined contribution or group RRSPs will just speed up with this with the funding level returning to normal status, because who knows when the next financial crisis will happen. And I mean, employers I think are going to take advantage of this opportunity to switch to defined contribution, because who knows what 2014 will bring in terms of returns for equities.
Okay, well, speaking of crises, another hot topic that's been in the media lately is about CPP expansion. And the reason it's in the eye of commentators out there is the idea that there is a retirement crisis. Clearly, people are living longer. I saw a stat the other day. I think I might have actually brought this up on the last podcast, so I apologize to people who listened to the last podcast, but the global life expectancy increased by 2 whole years between the medieval age and the early 20th century, but since 1980, it's increased by about 15 years. So people are getting older, but the retirement age isn't increasing as quickly. So if we're working 30, 40 years, and now we're expecting to retire not for 2 years or 10 years, but potentially 20 or 30 years, there's an issue to consider. And so would you say that there is a retirement crisis in Canada? And then a piggyback question to that would be, do you think that CPP, the Canadian Pension Plan, expanding that would be the solution?
Okay, well, Preet, I definitely think, I mean, it's hard to define what a crisis is exactly, but I definitely think there's going to be some difficulties for people retiring. First of all, I mean, baby boomers today that are retiring today are already saying that they don't have enough money. And when you look at baby boomers compared to millennials, the younger generation, baby boomers like have defined benefit plans, as well as some of them have health benefits in retirement. And for younger workers, they're most likely not going to have those benefits when they retire. So if baby boomers with defined benefit plans are having problem retiring, then that definitely tells me there's a retirement crisis. And another statistic that jumped out at me is if you're not lucky enough to have a defined benefit plan, your only option is to basically save for your own retirement. So that would be through RSP or through TFSAs, depending on which makes sense for you. But RSPs aren't, I mean, employees aren't really contributing to RSPs. For example, in 2011, only 24% of eligible workers contributed to RSPs. That's less than 1 in 4 workers, and the average contribution was $2,800. I mean, I don't know what kind of lifestyle they want in retirement, but only contributing $2,800 is hardly going to amount to anything in retirement.
Well, so, they could live like a king for 6 months.
I guess so, but I mean, that's if you hope to pass away in 5 years. I mean, as you mentioned, people are living longer and longer. So it's definitely with people living longer and people not contributing to their RSP or TSSA, then, I mean, that's definitely a huge problem in my opinion. And with younger workers, I mean, they have like group RSPs and defined contribution plans. And basically, I see it this way. When with defined benefit plan, similar to paying your mortgage, it's like forced savings. But with RSPs and TFSAs, when you look at the statistics and employees are given the opportunity to contribute to them, they just decide not to. I mean, I'm not sure what the reason is. If it's lifestyle and inflation, they figure other things that they want to spend the money today and not save for tomorrow, or if it's just skyrocketing housing prices, but they're just not finding the money to contribute to their plan. So it's definitely very worrisome. So, I mean, I definitely think there's a problem, and there needs to be some sort of government policy to put in place to help force them to save.
Are you personally in favor of CPP expansion?
Well, I mean, there were, like, with the talks between the federal finance minister and the finance ministers of the provinces, there wasn't really anything, any concrete numbers put forward. But, I mean, for example, with PEI proposing to raise the YMPE, which is the year's maximum pensionable earnings, basically the average wage of a worker across the country to $100,000. I don't agree with that because it would be too costly to the Canada Pension Plan, but I definitely think the YMPE should be raised from $50,000 because for myself, I'm at the beginning of my career and I've already hit the YMP. So any earnings that, like when I'm promoted, any earnings I earn above that, aren't being covered by CPP. So already, I'm running into a problem. And if I don't contribute to my RSP, my lifestyle could definitely take a hit in retirement. So, in terms of CPP expansion, I agree with expanding it to a certain degree. I mean, I'm not sure if I agree with doubling it or anything, but there definitely needs to be something done for the middle class because they're the most vulnerable. So, I mean, with the lower class, they have like guaranteed income supplement, but with the middle income class, then I mean, they're definitely going to run into some problems. So, I definitely think that CPP expansion needs to be looked at going forward. I mean, it shouldn't be retroactively increased for baby boomers who didn't pay into it, who didn't save enough for their retirement. But for going forward, I mean, I definitely think it's something that needs to be considered by all the provinces and the federal government.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your thoughts on that, Sean. And now's the time of the podcast where you can provide a little commercial for yourself. So why don't you let the listeners know where they can find you and where they can read more of your stuff?
Well, Preet, they can visit my personal website and view my blogs, my latest blogs posted on there. That can be visited at www.seancooperwriter.com. That's SEANCOOPERwriter.com, as well as I have a weekly blog on ratesupermarket.ca that you can visit and check out my latest stories on pensions, business news, and personal finance.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Preet.